This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. There has been a lot in the news this week, and we want to cover some of it for you from the vantage point of the floor of the U.S. House of Representatives. Typically, we check in with 12th District Congresswoman Debbie Dingell on Friday mornings, but schedule conflicts this week mean we get to have that talk a day early. Representative Dingell, thanks for finding a way to make time for us this week.
Good morning, David, and it's always good to be with you.
Well, we have to start in the aftermath of the conviction of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin for the murder of George Floyd. Most agree it provides an opportunity to make for more meaningful change in the systemic inequities faced by people of color in this country, but a lot of work needs to be done. In the time frame around the trial, just 7 hours before prosecutors opened their case, a Chicago officer chased down a 13-year-old boy and fatally shot him as he turned with his hands up. A day later, at a hotel in Jacksonville, Florida, officers fatally shot a 32-year-old African-American man who police say grabbed one of their tasers. The day after that, a 40-year-old mentally ill black man who said he was being harassed by voices was killed in Claremont, New Hampshire, in a shootout with state police. And then, just before the verdict was announced Tuesday, a 16-year-old African-American girl was shot to death by police in Columbus, Ohio. Now, obviously, we need more information on all of these cases, but it continues to emphasize a crisis. Would you characterize this as a national epidemic now?
I don't know if epidemic is the word that I would use, but what I will say is policing in America isn't working well for a lot of people, least of all black Americans. But for police officers themselves or communities, we have to have real conversation. And one of the things, David, that I really want to say to people is groups have to stop being pitted against each other. And we don't have to make a false choice between racial justice and public safety. But if you're the incidences that you just gave are very disturbing, and we're seeing it a lot. And the fact of the matter is that if you're a young black person, male or female in this country, and you get stopped by the police, you have a different reaction than a white person does. They're scared. They're afraid. Now, actually, as a woman, I haven't been stopped, but I, too, have been warned, but this is such a complicated, difficult, challenging discussion, because we're not saying that all law enforcement's bad, but we have seen, we all watched on video the murder of George Floyd. So we've got to really start to have real discussions that bridge divides and really does address racial bias and injustice.
One of those starting points would be the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act. It has the support of the U.S. House, but faces an uncertain future in the Senate, where it has yet to come up for a vote. It would, among other things, end certain police techniques, including chokeholds and carotid holds. It would invest in community programs designed to improve policing and promote equitable policies, improve police training, ban no-knock warrants, end qualified immunity. It would make it easier to prosecute police officers accused of misconduct. Is Mitch McConnell going to allow this measure to come up for a vote in the Senate?
I don't know. I'd never, ever, ever predict what the United States Senate is going to do. I heard this morning on Morning Joe that Tim Scott has again got another proposal out there. I think we've all got to work together. You were very accurate about everything that was in the bill that passed the House, and I think it's really important that these discussions continue. And by the way, the things that you just talked about, which are all in there, would help every person that is stopped by the police. We need to figure it out. Law enforcement are an important part of our communities. They risk their lives. You know, I paid tribute to a man that gave his life last week in the Capitol to protect our democracy. We've seen law enforcement officers killed in our own communities. Last summer, 26-year-old son of Dearborn was killed on responding to a drunk driving, and he just wanted to keep his community safe. So we have to have both sides, but we do see, you gave the number of instances that we've just seen in the last month. Quite frankly, I think it was just the last week. So we got to find a way to have uncomfortable conversations, because you don't solve problems if you're not willing to get out there and talk about it and try to come up with solutions.
We have a number of discriminatory issues to have conversations about in this country. We're talking with Congresswoman Debbie Dingell on 89.1 WEMU, and I want to move to another. Yesterday, you presided over a vote on what is being called the No Ban Act. That's an acronym for National Origin-Based Anti-Discrimination for Non-Immigrants. It would prevent any future president from issuing discriminatory travel bans. And if passed, largely, it did pass the House by party lines. Don't you think it indicates, like the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act, it's going to face a rough road ahead in the Senate?
I don't know. I am hopeful that we may be able to get the no ban through the Senate. We saw the reaction in this country when the Muslim travel ban was put into effect by an executive order of President Trump. I'll never forget the day that we all went to Detroit Metropolitan Airport. And, you know, it was an incredible thing. If people remember it, the airport was shut down, but nobody went to the airport with the intention of shutting it down. People came from all over the state voluntarily. There was no call for a massive demonstration. People were concerned that they were seeing people in this country targeted by their religion. And, you know, I represent Dearborn. It's got the largest population of Arab Americans in this country. And they are some of the most devoted Americans that I know. And we can't, and quite frankly, the law made us less safe. National security experts have testified that it made us less safe. We've got to stick to, remember, the fundamental foundations of our Constitution, and freedom of religion is one of them.
Some also might perceive a congressional body attempting to pass legislation that would limit the powers of a future president that the majority party fears it's in danger of losing the next presidential election. Is that the case?
Quite frankly, this needed to be put into place so that we could never see what happened happen again. And as representing a significant number of people that were impacted by it, seeing how torn apart they are from their families, the impact on them, it was the right thing to do.
Our conversation with Michigan's 12th District Congressional Representative Debbie Dingell continues on 89.1 WEMU, and I want to touch on another matter of discrimination, a long-standing one at that. The Equal Rights Amendment to protect women from gender discrimination was first introduced in 1923. Then there was a 1972 version of the measure that had strong support and advocacy from your late husband, John Dingell. Failed to win ratification by enough states to have it put on the books and take effect. Now the U.S. House has passed a measure eliminating some deadlines for ratification, which could potentially create a path to getting this measure enacted. But, as we've been discussing throughout this conversation, winning over the Senate in these matters is less than a certainty. So what happens from this point forward?
Well, you know, I want to say this to you. 94% of the American people across party lines, across geographical distribution of this country, support the ERA. In 38 states, the number required for the ERA to be added to the Constitution have ratified the ERA. And that's why we are trying to remove this arbitrary time limit for ratification. So I hope the United States Senate will think about what the will of the American people is and bring it up for consideration.
Are you not just stupefied that this is not law by now?
Yeah, I have to admit it was 100 years ago that we got the right to vote. And I don't want people pitted against each other. Too many times, David, this is what's really bothering me. We can have differences with each other. We can learn from each other. We don't have to be pitted against each other. I think all men and women, God created us equal, and we should be treated equally in this country. And with it, you know, we will have stronger legal protections against this pay discrimination, sexual assault, domestic violence. When, you know, we just, I, yes, It does. And I hope we can get there without men and women being pitted against each other. 94% is a pretty big number.
With all of that in mind, there was a coalition of groups that came together yesterday. You issued a statement with Washtenaw County Sheriff, and we're going to end where we began. But you issued a statement with Sheriff Jerry Clayton, and all area municipalities and law enforcement agents joined in, saying the conversations do need to begin, and we need to find a way collectively and together and in a unified manner to change the way our communities are existing today. What do we do now?
Well, Sheriff and I and some of the mayors were talking about, okay, what are the next steps? To the listeners, we want to hear what you think. We need to begin these community dialogues. Actually, some of them have already begun, but we clearly need to take them further. They need to be significant. And let's all respect each other, listen to each other, and try to bring about the change we need.
Thank you so much for the time today. I do appreciate it, and I will look forward to our conversation next week.
Thanks, David. Be safe.
That is 12th District Congressional Representative Debbie Dingell. She typically joins us on Fridays, but due to scheduling conflicts, joined us a day early this week. I'm David Fair, and this is your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU-FM and HD1 Ypsilanti.